Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're going to be talking about some prophetic fulfillment. What's taking place in the economy? What's taking place in the world? I mean, as you can see right here in Greece, one of the nations in the European Union, they're standing at ATM machines by the hundreds of thousands, the reports are now. Why? Because they defaulted from the European Union on their debt. They just said, we're not going to pay it. And some of the prophetic words we're going to be talking about in today's program, it talks about Greece was one of those words that it would be like dominoes. You think about dominoes, you stack them up and then, you know, say Greece is the first domino and it falls over. All of a sudden it knocks the next domino over and the next one. Imagine now if those dominoes are banks and nations, economies. And that was some of the words we're going to be talking about today that David Wilkerson talked about with Times Square Church, Rick Joyner with Morningstar Ministries. Some of the words that we have gotten myself and John as well, we'll be sharing that today. But first, let's just go right now and just take a look at what took place. They defaulted on their debt to the European Union. Take a look.
Stock markets around the world today took a major hit after it appeared Greece could default on its international debt. The Greek prime minister announced banks will be closed for six business days starting today. Economists and investors worry that Greece's problems could hurt other countries as well. Caitlin Burke has the story.
Greece one step closer today to financial chaos. Over the weekend, the country's prime minister announcing a decision to close banks for six business days. Cash withdrawals are also restricted, with Greek citizens allowed to take only $66 per day. The move comes after last-ditch talks between Greece and its lenders broke down last week when the Greek prime minister called for a surprise referendum on the country's bailout. He's now putting it to the Greek people to vote on whether to accept the bailout plans or reject them. The people of Greece have had mixed reactions about such a vote.
I have no idea what we're voting for, yes or no. We don't know what to say. I think we shouldn't have gone so far to get into this mess.
Now it's our time to say no because they want the whole our land. They want our freedom, they want our rights, they want our properties, they want our homeland. I think the Greek people will fight back.
The concern is that Greece will default on its debt and try to solve its financial crisis by abandoning the euro. International leaders are now desperately looking for a solution that will allow Greece to keep using the euro as its currency. But Greece won't be getting any help from the European Central Bank. It decided Sunday not to increase the amount of emergency credit for Greek banks after having already supported them for weeks. Without that credit, Greece's four major banks could soon run out of cash. Analysts predict that the Greek government and its creditors will need to negotiate an entirely new bailout in order to keep Greece from defaulting on its debt. Caitlin Burke, CBN.
You think about this, that it's beginning. The dominoes are beginning. I don't know if you remember us talking about on the program about David Axelrod when he was in the beginning. He says, the storm is across the seas. It's coming this way. If you'd missed our previous program where we're talking about, you know, this violence, ISIS in the world, ISIS coming to America, and violence is the Lord is showing us how it's coming. You got to catch it. It's yesterday's program. Also, some of the people reported that, you know, maybe you didn't hear during this wave, prophetic word about this tidal wave coming. That's now available for you. If you didn't hear it, you can go to VFNTV.com and watch VFNTV programs. They're always there for you to review again, to share with your friends. But you need to hear what's coming because it's exactly what took place in the Tunisian shores. The economy is another aspect of what's taking place. You're seeing money dealt with. And you think about it, when God begins to talk to his people and begins to talk to mankind, he deals with our gods, our false gods, things that we've made gods. And he says very specifically, you cannot serve God and money. You can't do it. And you think about it, that people say, you know, why don't serve money? But you look, you know, there are people that just love the actual possession of greenbacks and money and gold and that type of thing. But what people love is the things that money, they get with money. And that's the same thing, you're loving stuff and things and money. And he talks about it in Romans chapter 1. And so God begins to deal with those gods, those false gods, because God loves you, God loves mankind, and he wants mankind to turn to him. He wants mankind to turn to him. And so he deals with these gods. One of the gods is money. And we're going to talk about today prophetically how the Lord has spoke specifically to us and others about the coming financial crisis and collapse, the sudden collapse that takes place, you know, in America. I'm not saying the country's over. I'm not saying it's the end of the world. But I'm saying from what the Lord has shown us very specifically that what I'm saying very specifically is the fact that this financial crisis that's ahead of us, it could be real close. It's a sudden thing. It's just going to happen just suddenly. And it could happen in a day. Specifically what the Lord's told us, that it's going to happen like in 6 minutes. And so we'll be talking about that. We're also going to be talking about how Rick Joyner with Morningstar Ministries has specifically laid out that martial law is coming. It's not necessarily bad. It's not necessarily good. It all depends on who the marshal is. Because when things get chaotic, you're going to need to be able to begin to help people and make sure they're not harmed or hurt, because that's what happened during Katrina. But we'll be talking about that. But it's because of the financial crisis that's about to happen. And you can imagine when money stops moving, when the currency stops flowing and things begin to shift, and maybe a new economy is going to reboot. You have the International Monetary Fund, IMF's talking about, you know, making it illegal, the reports are, to be able to possess, you know, paper money. And the Lord specifically talked to me about and showed me paper money basically being sucked off the face of the earth and just turning into like this big mountain of fire and just burned up. And that, you know, digital economy is where, you know, a lot of people kind of logically think we need to go. And that's where people that are in this world system really want us to go. And with that, you can track everything. So we're going to be talking specifically how the Lord gave a prophetic night vision about how the beast economy, it's all about the money and business and the economy, how that's kicking in. And we need to figure that out and how we respond to it, because the Word of God says it takes wisdom and patience during this time when these things begin to happen. There's nothing to worry about as a church, but we need to walk wisely about how we respond to these things.
We've been prophesying about this moment. A lot of people have been prophesying about it. And I do want to say first that thank you to all of our partners that are there. And if you're not yet a partner, you can partner with us for any amount whatsoever. Just go to vfntv.com, click on partner, and follow those prompts. But our partners have available for them the green room and specials and teachings and these prophetic teachings available to you, you know, just free. It's just there for you. And one of the specials that's in there is a prophetic summit that took place where we all gathered just by hearing the voice of the Lord, really came to Fort Mill, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. And they were thinking maybe just a couple, they didn't advertise it the way you advertise different events. And if you had to be able to hear from the Lord to come. And the place was packed. Wow. And what we heard there, John, was, you know, that, you know, we're not insane. What we've been hearing is exactly what people have been hearing to the word, to the actual phrases that we've been hearing. And so what we did was, because we knew that, you know, memories fade quickly, we took time to sit back and talk. You know, Pat and I sat back and talked about what took place there. And that's there for you. I would encourage you to go there. That's in the specials area of the partners area. It's there for you anytime that you want to be able to see it, and it's partnering for any amount whatsoever. And it's because of our sponsors and partners that we're able to continue to do what we're doing. But it's so important. I mean, think about it. Imagine knowing in advance what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, people talk about the lottery. I mean, if I just knew the lottery numbers. Let me tell you something, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills.
That's right.
Let me tell you about the one who controls everything, that's over everything. He's telling you the future. Mm. It's called prophecy. And so if you want prophecy, I mean, you know, tune in, connect, partner, be a part, and good things are ahead, but we got to first walk through what God said that's going to happen because of unresponse. When you think about Greece, and you're looking at probably a picture of Greece here at the ATM, so you can see it back over here, my shoulder, but he prophesied some time back. David Wilkerson talked about, you know, that banks would begin to, close.
Talk to us about that, because we know that banks are about to close, but what do they call that? Because it's kind of misleading.
Well, you know, it's sort of like, you know, you can call being fired, you're fired, or you can say you're getting a transition package.
Right.
But the result is they both end up with a cardboard box and you're little, you know, little pencil sharpener and stuff walking out the thing. And everything you thought was yours, they take back. Your BlackBerry and all that kind of thing.
You didn't get fired. Your job was terminated.
We're promoting you to the next season of your life. Where there is you it? Go. You're going to have to find it on LinkedIn, but it's not here. And so a bank, what happens is when, and wouldn't it be great if we could do this kind of stuff?
Oh, but, yeah.
So if, in fact, the bank overextends itself, like prints $17 trillion, $100, you know, whatever it is, of dollars, print all this money, and they don't know what to do about it, they got this big button. They can just hit this emergency button when you start running to the bank and saying, I'm going to get my 75 cents out of there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get my retirement out of there. And they hit this button, you know, this virtual concept, and they say, holiday. I mean, you think about that. I mean, as kids you used to, you know, I don't know what the games were, but it's like you say some secret word and they couldn't touch you or something. Mm-hmm. Well, the secret word for the banks in America is called a bank holiday. And what happens is the government and all of, I mean, including all law enforcement, back that business called bank. They back them in locking their doors and you aren't going to be able to get to your money. And they're just going to lock it down. Hmm. What happened in the prototype, which they said, I thought this was a pretty good idea, they said, was it Spruce or Cypress? Remember Cypress? Oh, yeah. This was the first experiment, and they said this was kind of a good idea how to do it. They had the same situation happen, financial crisis. They put a bank holiday out, and they said everybody can get like $250,000. That's it. So if you have $10 million, or this is what they said, $250,000. That's enough for you. And that's basically what they said. Can you imagine? Which I'm okay with that. Anyway, so. I guess if you had the $250,000, right. If you only have $5 in your bank, they were going to give you $250,000. And so we saw that happen. We talked about that on the air, and we said, you know, we talked about this prophecies and what's going on. And now in Greece, this is what they're saying is, and this is what they're allowing people. That's why you have, you know, reportedly thousands upon thousands standing at ATMs, because you can't a bank holiday. You're going to have to go to ATMs if they're going to do something for you. They're taking away the personal thing, you know what I'm saying? It's like you can't yell at the machine. But they're allowing them to draw $66, the reports are. I mean, think about that. I mean, you could, why not $50? Hmm. You know, why not $75? Why does it have to be $66, right?
And 66 cents now.
No, right. Yeah, I don't know if it's 6 cents on the end of that. Obviously, they don't have dollars in the context of that. But the reports across the world right now in media and all the sources out there is that it's $66. As Christians, we go, ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
I'm hearing a sound here. Something's up. And it has to do with economy and it has to do with money and everything's joined together. You know, some of the reports with the United Nations, which began as a concept of League of Nations by President Woodrow Wilson, who he believed that if you take the economies of the world, you know, the economies and tie all of our money together, that we won't have a world war again. And because if you start fighting another nation and your economy crashes because of that, you won't fight that nation. And so Woodrowville, you know, he signed this, you know, he pushed the League of Nations and, you know, and you think about, you know, his last part, his wife died when he was in office. He was chosen because of his ability to speak. He was a professor at a university. Progressives reportedly went and interviewed him. They liked his ability to speak because people would applaud him after his speeches. Yeah. There's power in the spoken word. And so he, I believe, ran for governor of New Jersey. He made it.
He was governor of Jersey,
And he thought he was doing his own thing. He runs for president. He becomes president. We have more details on this, but suddenly his wife dies. He goes to a deep depression. And if you understand Ephesians 6:12, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. This man was chosen. You have to understand that he was selected before he was elected. And he was chosen, and people had an agenda. They wanted to be able to deliver through Woodrow Wilson because they saw it as a world thing and not as just a United States thing. And And mysteriously, they introduce him while he's president to a socialite lady in Washington, D.C., and she ends up marrying him. He marries her, and he's like one of those people, those romantic type people, reports. So he wrote all kinds of letters and stuff. But the thing is the last part of his presidency, get this, the last part of his presidency, the reports are she was president. He was locked down in his room. He was sick as can be.
Nobody had access. She wouldn't let anybody have
access to him. And she was signing, or she was carrying legislation to him that nobody could see that he was supposedly signing
right
in there. And that began what we call the concept of the, launching this 100-year plan of that they're seeing kind of fulfilled, if you think about it. And tying the money together. And so, you know, many are the plans in a man's heart, it's the Lord's plans that prevail. That, and the Lord specifically told us in his word that it's an economic system. This is what will arise in the last day. And it'll be a world economic system, which is, I think most people can see. I mean,
It's all tied.
And so here we are. Here we are at this point. This thing is going to begin to build. The question is not, you know, how am I going to manage my money necessarily? It's going to be how am I going to manage my life? Because God is the provider. You're not the provider. God's the provider. He blesses the work of your hands. If you believe you're the provider, which many people do believe that they're the provider, how do I know this? Because people that are regular church attenders that go to church at least gathering at least once every 2 weeks, 93% of them, according
97%,
according to George Barna, believe that they're the provider. They don't honor God with his first fruits. They don't. But when you honor God with his tithes, you're saying that you're the one that did this. If you don't honor him, you believe that Baal is God, which means the work of your hand is God. That's when Elijah showed up. He says, choose a day. Who's going to be your God? Is Baal God? Serve him. If Jehovah God is God, just serve him. And this is where we are today. We're going to have to make those choices. And so the question is then, you know, who's your God? And this is some of the things the Lord has said. So you're looking at $66, the beginning of these dominoes, reportedly, and they would come through the European Union, then they would swing back around through Mexico, and then all of a sudden America would declare a bank holiday. That's what David Wilkerson briefly had talked about. And then, you know, talk to us, John, about this night vision that you had about the American stock market.
Okay. You know, before I share that, I want to say, too, that if you, when you saw the in the monologue, the people in Greece, the look of shock, they were stunned. They didn't know what to do. You know, God's given us the ability. He's telling us so that we can share, so that we can be informed, but we don't need to be shocked or stunned or surprised by the things that are unfolding right now.
And don't be offended, because most people will be surprised. Now, we're probably going to have to do that with your partners. But think about this, what you're talking about. When you're looking at this this man saying, you know, I paid for my kids' school. I paid for their school and I wanted their education, and it's being taken away from me. I mean, he didn't have a clue, John. He didn't have a clue, did he?
Well, no.
And it's like, didn't you see when your retirement age is 50 in Greece? 50 is the retirement age, the reports are. 50. Yeah, you know, you're just getting the wind behind yourselves.
That's
at 50.
Right. You just actually know what you're doing at
50. Yeah, right, hopefully. Yeah. And so you're looking, and so they didn't even know that if you actually retire at the age of 2, it ain't going to work out for
you. Wow.
And a whole nation is that blind to the reality of their relationship to money and how they perceive it. Now they're demanding more of their God, but they're defaulting on paying people back.
And there's no credit extended to them at all anymore. The banks, they have no money.
Right.
This is not a good recipe. And then the prime minister is demanding of Germany's prime minister for more money in reparations. It's like, it's not going to happen like this. It's not going to happen at all.
While they're shaking hands and bartering with Iran and these talks and with Putin, because Putin's holding their oil. And that, it's just like, man, these are wild days when you think about them. But it's going to be the best days for the church. You're just going to be surprised who is the church and who isn't the church.
Wow.
But that the biggest frustration is talking to people about God who don't want to know about God. They don't mind having a God as long as he doesn't interfere with their life and interfere how they perceive. And so, but when all of a sudden God makes demands like, unless you make my son the Lord of your life and be his disciple, you know, you can't have a part of me.
Right.
Then that's when people start saying, they say, you know, that that's when you find out who your God is. And I know that I want to hear specifically, you know, that prophetic night vision, but a word just came to Pastor John Kilpatrick, Church of His Presence, and over America. And in this word, it kind of explains where America's at right now. You think about it, the United Apostates of America. This is what God spoke. And we have to understand, what does that mean? Because we're called to make disciples. Jesus said, be my disciple. A disciple is people that know my teaching and follow my teachings. And he says, and then I want you to go and tell them about me. And those that believe, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and make them my disciples. I mean, what's happening? There's like no disciples. It's time for us. And true apostles, people that are called by God, are the ones that are saying the only answer is apostleship. You got to, a discipleship. You have to follow God's teachings. Mm-hmm. And that word's coming saying, listen, apostate America, the United
Apostates of America.
Of America. Take a look.
This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really set it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now. I went upstairs immediately, did some research, looked it up in Webster, and I looked up apostle, one sent out on a mission to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and establish disciples that will follow his teaching. An apostle is one who initiates great moral reform or one who first advocates an important teaching, belief, or moral system. The highest ecclesiastical office in some church organizations. But look at the term for apostate. Renunciation of the religious faith once delivered by the apostles. Abandonment of a previous loyalty. Defection. I said, Lord, does that mean that all the United States stands with this new law? And the Lord said no, but he said the apostates have united and there's a majority now and my people are in the minority. It's like a ship going through the water with coordinates. It's been on that course for almost 250 years. There's new coordinates put in, and when those new coordinates are put in, it changes course and it's turning left in the water and it's headed right into a major storm.
Up young people, raise up voices, not echoes, voices that can cut through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses, put a sure word in their mouth, let it hit the news channels, let America know God is not through with America. Revival.
John, talk to us about this night vision, because it's just going to happen. You know, we got to quit. It's going to happen. You know, that's not, you know, things happening does not mean that we're not going to survive it.
Right.
But it means they're going to happen. And when God says it twice, this is what Joseph told Pharaoh. He said, when God says it twice, it's a for sure thing. Well, God has said what we're talking about umpteen times.
Yeah.
Twice.
Makes me think of brace yourself. You know, there's so many of these prophetic
you
words.
You got to hear brace yourself and convergence. I mean, hopefully they're going to be related to this. You go to the VFN Torch and see that. You're going to be encouraged when you find out God already knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I think about this, and is the Syrian king coming down to defeat Israel, and he defeated the northern parts of Israel, and he's coming against Judea. And he started boasting about what he was going to do to Judea. And Hezekiah prayed, and Isaiah, that's when he comes on the scene. And then God tells the Assyrian king, what are you even talking about? I have preordained this. This is something that I'm doing. You're just a pawn.
Yeah. Pharaoh, right?
Yeah, well,
another example.
Yeah, yeah, you're just a pawn, you know. And he said, this is what he said: I'm gonna put a spirit on you, and it's gonna cause you to run. He's making these bowing up threats to Israel. Hezekiah just fell to his face and cried out to God, and Isaiah prophesied. He said, I'm gonna put a spirit on you that's gonna cause you to run from these battle lines, basically. And then not only that, your own sons are gonna kill you when you get back. And that's exactly what happened. God's in control. It's not a political problem. It's a heart problem with us. We've got to turn to God. And so when you see these dreams, God's already preordained some things. He said that if we would repent, it wouldn't happen. But if we don't repent, guess what? It happens.
Yeah.
Tell us about this 6 minutes.
I had this night vision, like you were just mentioning, where I was in this dream. I was at work, and I was going to my desk, and I noticed that my fellow co-workers, they were standing around this television screen. Everyone had stopped working. And so I went to see what they were looking at. And when I went to see what they were looking at, there was a news reporter on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. And while he was standing there, everyone was completely, you know, still. I knew the stockbrokers were completely surrounding him, which I thought was odd because my dad was a stockbroker. Those, you know, stockbrokers don't stop. They're constantly moving. And he was about to share breaking news. And,
so hold on a minute, because we're talking about financial crisis.
Yes.
What's happening at Greece right now. And so God is showing you this night vision. You know, you and I stood in front of the New York Stock Exchange, which they have a Baal idol in front of, right? The big bull. And so you're there, and it's like, who's on the floor at the stock exchange?
Stockbrokers, blue coats, were surrounding a news reporter.
So they're all standing up, but there's a reporter on the floor.
They're not working, right? Everything's at a standstill.
That's not good with the stock market.
No. Those guys are running around.
Okay.
And gals all over the place.
Okay, I see it now. So we're standing there. Okay. Uh-huh.
And he says to the screen and to the viewers, don't want you to panic, but we're about to share something, you know, when we come back. Mm-hmm. And so as soon as he said that, because God had already been speaking to us about things that were about to come, things that we're experiencing today, I knew in the dream he's about to share it, and I knew that it was going to panic was going to happen as a result of what he was about to share. So I went to my desk, was gathering some things so I can beat the pandemonium that was about to break loose,
which we're seeing now in Greece.
Right.
Yes.
Anyway, on my way back, he begins to share, and he says, "I just want you to know."
So he's talking over the new cameras,
directly to the cameras, to the viewers, and he says, "The world is going to end as we know it."
And we're not saying the world's going to end, but as you know the world.
As we know it, in 6 minutes.
Oh, wait a minute. 6 minutes?
6 minutes.
So it's $66 right now you get out of Greece, reports are.
Yeah.
And in 6 minutes. What can you do in 6 minutes?
Not much.
Right.
Not much. At that
point. So suddenly.
It was a suddenly. It was quick. Mm-hmm. And everyone went, you know, wild. They're screaming. They were panicking. And basically I began to just share hope and the good news in the gospel at that time.
Go to VFNTV.com. Yeah. Go to the VFN Torch, and right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we're telling you now. Go to the Torch.
Go to the Torch.
Imagine if you go to it before they make that announcement.
Yeah.
You could actually prepare.
Prepare.
What a concept.
Hear God, you know, pray.
Right. A prudent man sees danger and prepares, and a fool keeps going and suffers for it.
That's right. We can't bury our heads in the sand, especially when God is speaking to us and telling us in advance. And it's interesting that the number six is a symbol for idol. And so we've made money, obviously, our idol in America, and it's coming down. And God said he'll have no other gods before him.
Wow. And I think about this, that the things the Lord has shown me about the southern borders, we've both seen borders, but coming under attack. And basically a couple pirate type, not pirates like you may think movies, but just pirates coming in and just charging our shores. And there was a man, there's people on the shore, and it was, you know, on the water. Mm-hmm. And this one man was enamored with himself. I mean, he was just so in love with himself. I mean, he was idolatry, obviously, what you're talking about. And he's just overtaken with himself. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're coming down. God described to me VFN TV and the radio program and the apostolic hub that God has us doing as a battleship. And it's interesting that you see the ship in Brother Kilpatrick's word. There's a ship, and we're kind of patrolling down the Gulf of Mexico, And all of a sudden, this pirated ship comes on, and this enamored guy, enamored with himself, you know, just in love with himself on the shore in a crowd. And he was admiring himself. And all of a sudden, we pass up that place where these pirates start coming in. So we turn these big, huge, I guess like 55 caliber guns on this big, huge battleship and point and go, boosh, boosh, and just blow this little small boat out of the water, which is truth. But immediately, all the borders broke down. There's no more borders. Everything was dangerous on the border. And that man, the sudden, this guy that was enamored with himself and the crowd and all that, he was literally beside himself. Mm. I mean, there was another part of him that looked just like him, but he was connected and he's looking at himself. I think God's saying, it's going to be so horrific. You're going to move from idolatry to being beside yourself, and you're not going to know what to do, and you're going to have to look up at me. What we're saying is, we're saying, repent. God is you know, everybody that says they're a Christian are not a Christian. Hmm. The word Christian means Christ follower. And a follower means it's somebody who actually wants to know what Jesus says, his teachings, and they want to do their best in following them. But if 81% of regular church attenders in America don't even pick up his Bible at all, are they a follower?
No.
Are they a follower? How can you follow what you don't even know?
Right.
How could you be going in the right direction if you don't even have a map? You're going in your own direction. You're doing what's right in your own mind. And so, but God loves us, and so he's telling us ahead of time so we can repent and possibly lessen the effects of this. So in this particular night vision the Lord gave me, and that's one, we have more details on that particular one, but you said, you know, yeah, six represented that.
Sure.
And all these sixes are going around.
Mm-hmm.
Was in this particular night vision, there's a whole bunch of, I don't know if you've ever been to those large offices that has all these little office pod things in there. And people are like robots just typing on computers and
that's
entering
data.
That's
the new data. Cyber factory. That's the new...
I think it's pretty, okay, I can't have time. Think about it. What's so interesting, this is what they do. We actually give them environments so they can take a break from that and that, like, they actually have a life. Go out and they play volleyball. They have, like, you know, relational things. It's like, why don't we just dump the computer stuff and just live like family, and we don't have to actually
bake it.
Anyway, so, and so here we are, you know, entering this data in, and it's like everybody's data from all, you know, your name, your social security number, your address, you know, everything about you. You know, my weight, you know, 180 pounds.
Really?
And TV just really adds stuff to you. Anyway, so.
That's our
and it just all of a sudden it comes to me that they're gathering this data on everybody.
Mm.
And then you can't tell anybody. You can't talk to anybody. You're going to get in trouble if you say anything. You couldn't stand up in your little pod, stick your head above, you know, those little small wall things and go, this is the devil, you know, the kind of thing. Or this is, you know.
Yeah.
But everybody had their own little board. Everybody. You have one. I have one. John has one. We have our own little sphere of influence. And everybody in these pods had a board, like a bulletin board. And you could do anything you wanted on that board. You couldn't say nothing, but you could do something on that board. And what I put on the board in this night vision was, this is the mark of the beast. And his and the number of his name is 666. These things are happening. These things are happening right before our eyes. And it's important, you know, deception means we're making wrong decisions, but we don't know they're wrong. Deception means, too, that we can even write books on why we're right, why we're wrong. Our only hope for not being deceived is humility, relationships with other people who love God, and always crying out to God, God, if there's anything in my life, if there's anything in my eyes that don't, if anybody, if you think, if you're totally convinced that you don't have, you know, you cannot be deceived, you're deceived. Because he said if it was possible, even the very elect could be deceived.
Well, the first step in being deceived is pride.
Yeah.
And pride is so blinding. And I'm not surprised, but the people that are always often most shocked and most stunned are the ones that oftentimes they're moving in so pride they couldn't even see that it was coming or it was happening right in front of them. The only place, you know, the safe place is the lowly place, and that's to be humble and to be completely dependent upon God.
John Bevere writes in his book, The Fear of the Lord, John, he says, the longer someone is deceived, the thicker the veil gets over them.
Mm.
A thicker veil. and it's harder for them to understand or to hear you.
Yeah.
Think about that. Yeah. I mean, that's powerful.
And that underscores to me the importance of the church relating as family and having people in your life.
Nothing like family can go like, where are you? Sit down. What are you? What's going on? I mean, it's family. It's so wonderful because, you know, first of all, family means that you walked with them. They love God. You love God. You know you're not perfect because you're walking together.
Yeah.
And you know that they have your best interests in mind. And though you can sing the rafters off, they say, it's your turn to set the table.
That's right.
You know, though you can preach rhythmically and all these wonderful things, they tell you, you need to get along with your husband. Mm. You need to get along with your wife.
Yeah.
You need to get things right. You know, that's what family does. And you know that you hear their words and you go, they're right. That's what I got to do. And the church has gone so organizational, and we left the organism. And the church is not an organization. It's an organism. We're a family. It's the family of God.
Yeah,
He's our Father. And He says our Father. So He's all of our Father. And Jesus is not only our Lord, but He is our elder brother. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ in God. We are sons and daughters of God. And but what pleases Him, but also is the place of the commanded blessing and our greatest witness, is our relationship as family. By our love for each other, then they'll know. Because that's what everybody craves, John.
Yeah.
I know we got to go to break, but that's what everybody, that's what you're craving right now. This is what you're craving, I believe. You just want somebody to reach out and touch you and talk to you. And just acknowledge that you exist and that you're important. Well, you're hearing it now. God's telling you, you are important. But we got to do church differently. We got to do it differently. If what we're doing prevents people from having a actual authentic relationship, God's not pleased with that. He says, I'll even judge you on the last days based on what you do to other people, how you authentically treat them. Do you care for them? Do you give them water? Do you give them food? If you don't even know their name, you don't know where they work or where they live, you know, that's like you're not knowing the name or address of Jesus.
That's right.
You know, and it's very enjoyable. It's an awesome thing to have family. And you can get through anything with God and family. It's amazing, amazing what you can do. And you're never looking for more because you've already have what you have in God. You're looking for people just to have what you have because you're satisfied in God. You're contented and the things of God. We want to talk about the more details on the six. Where do you get this number from about six? You go to Revelation chapter 13, and hopefully we get to talk about some of the word with martial law, financial crisis, with Rick Joyner and what he said. Martial law is coming. It was around during the time of George Washington as a presidential tool. It all depends on who the marshal is, how it turns out. But in Revelation chapter 13, When things are coming to a conclusion, and only God knows when that is, but the signs, I mean, if you would smell the fragrance of apple pies cooking, that means that it's near.
Catch a clue, right?
It smells like apple pie and vanilla bean ice cream. You know what I'm saying? It's here. It is totally here. In Revelation chapter 13, he talks about this beast, and he says, chapter 13, verse 15, he says, talking about the second beast that comes out, and it says, the second beast was given power. Understand, just like the Syrian king didn't understand that he didn't have one up on Israel. God was, you know, bringing things to pass. He's in verse 15, he says, the second beast was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast, and it came alive. And so the image could speak, you know, you think about it, so that the internet could speak, or your iPhone, or your anyway. So the image could speak and cause all to refuse to worship the image. It could speak and cause all who refuse to worship the image to be killed. That don't go good in tradition. And so in verse 16, he says, it also forced all people, John. I'm going to look at Greece right now. I'm going to look at Greece. I'm going to look at this over my shoulder right here. Look at that. It forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands and their foreheads so that they could not buy or sell. It's business. It's economy. It's going to be the economy. They could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. He says, this calls for wisdom. Let persons who have insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, which is 666. We have people standing here at ATMs pulling out $66. God speaking to us in night vision, just talking about in 6 minutes, the God of most of America money is going to fall. We have God speaking to me in night vision saying this whole data gathering thing is to be able to control and control the economy. And Rick Joyner, talk to us just a little bit. We have a little time to talk about what he's saying here, because he says martial law will happen.
Right.
And this is a long, drawn-out thing, so you can get it.
You're going to get it. Yes. We're related to the torch but this is actually a follow-up to the word about martial law, because it produced some questions, and he wants to address those. So he says, I'm not advocating martial law. However, it is inevitable. If we are prepared, we can get through it and come out of it better, stronger, and continue as a republic. If we're not prepared, it can lead to a terrible tyranny. He says, I'm not predicting martial law based on any conspiracy theory. All the revelations that have come out recently about NSA, the IRS, etc., should be deeply troubling to every American. But they are not the basis of what I am predicting. Neither is the purchase of hundreds of millions of rounds of ammo by government agencies or their purchase of armored vehicles, though this too should be alarming to any thinking person. Yet these are not the basis of what I am saying, neither is any other conspiracy theory. I'm not sounding this warning because I think martial law is something Obama is scheming to do. I am troubled by the control freak nature, quote unquote, of the Obama administration as it was recently characterized in the New York Times. I disagree with the direction in which President Obama has led our country, but this is not why I see martial law coming. I do not think that martial law is something that our military leaders are scheming to do or want to see happen. Martial law is the last thing most military leaders would want to see happen. Of course, the few who may not be appalled by this prospect would be the ones we should pray do not become the martial. The Republic and the Democratic parties are equally culpable for what has led us to where martial law will be needed to help save the Republic. The Founding Fathers were not infallible or necessarily right about everything, but they did have uncommon wisdom that I have become convinced was divinely inspired. They were right that our republic could not last if certain basic firewalls were removed. They placed these firewalls in the Constitution to preserve it. Republicans and Democratic administrations have been responsible for tearing down these firewalls, and now the consequences are as predicted. Tyranny can come from the left or the right, and we should be equally concerned about the extremes from either side. As devastating as the sharp turn to the left may be and have been in recent years, and as much as we may need to turn back to the right for a time, an ultimate danger can come from overreacting and going too far to the right, and more will be said about this later. To navigate safely through the storms we're entering, we will take we need to take the wisest and most decisive leadership we've ever had. When martial law comes, who the marshal is will be critical. We need to pray for someone who is like George Washington, deeply committed to the Republic, yet who does not want the job any longer than is necessary to get us back on a solid foundation. We need one who is not an ideologue from either extreme. He says, martial law does not have to be the end of our story. It can be just a temporary emergency that we must go through to get back on track. Our federal government is off its rails and are quickly grinding to a halt, and what caused it to jump the rails needs to be understood before it's put back on the rails and released again.
There's so much more to this, but this really is helpful. I mean, I have never met a wiser man in our day
than Rick. And Rick, he does say, I want to say this, he does say that the martial law is coming as a result of the financial collapse. This is why it's happening.
And the collapse is going to be just like, boom, you know, it's like the Weimar Republic. And make sure you go there and look at related links. And it, what it happens is one day your money's worth something and you can buy something with it, and the next day you can't, or it takes like 20,000 of that $1 bill to buy that. Like in Rome, it was like 16,000 whatever to be able to buy a candy bar. God's in control. Make sure you're honoring God. Stand with God. Do what Jesus says. Begin to abide with him. Go to iabide.org. Get your plan and make Jesus the Lord of your life. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out how we met him as well. I want to pray for you. Father God, I thank you for those that are listening and those that are watching. God, I pray that you would comfort them, but yet they would understand the sense of urgency of this day and this time. But they wouldn't be like the ones in Greece going, I can't believe this didn't happen. They're going to understand that you do speak, that you do warn, and you do tell us because you don't want these things to happen, God. And I pray for protection over our audience, God. I pray for the church to arise and to awaken and come in, Lord. And just like Pastor John Kilpatrick said, God, we say revival, God.
Yes.
That you would send a third great awakening, that you would send revival, God, to America. Revival, Lord. We ask you for it, Lord. End abortion. Send a revival, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.